I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday. It's Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon watching a little bit of college football, oddly enough, right now in May. FCS semifinals taking place right now. James Madison and Sam Houston. We're just deprived for football, Matt. So we always are. Whatever it is, football just runs the storylines all the time, all year long, every single week. We're always talking football here on Cougar Sports Saturday. And you know what?
This shouldn't come as a surprise to you, but I'm already well in off-season form where I'm watching all the losses from previous years on YouTube. I know I bring this up every summer, but my wife is always like, how do you do this? Not only do you watch the same games over and over again, they're losses, but I love doing it. It's like a ritual in the summertime for me.
Well, you didn't have many losses to watch last year, only Coastal Carolina. Was there anything new that you watched or saw from the Coastal Carolina game that you maybe forgot when you watched it live last season?
I haven't forgot it, but the flame of anger was relit when watching the Neil Pau kind of screen pass touchdown, because I didn't see a penalty. I didn't see a penalty, and so it's like that changes the football game right out of the gates. You're up 7-0, and because it seemed like when that was taken away, it felt like BYU was always clawing from behind all game long, and that would not have been the case against Coastal Carolina. So I don't know. It's a sick, disgusting habit that I have, but I love to watch losses and just analyze where it went wrong.
Yeah. It is a quite the habit, but hey, I respect it. It's a good thing. We love getting our football fix, and we appreciate Fessy Satake joining us to provide that football fix. And you know, he's going to be the passing game coordinator for BYU. And as you heard in that interview, not much is going to change. He's going to have more involvement in maybe the creation of the offense and some plays and things like that. But it's Aaron Roderick's offense. You're not going to hear this narrative this year that it was a collaborative deal. Like, this is Aaron Roderick's offense, and that's how it should be. But if Fessy Satake is going to be right alongside him operating and working on the offense too, but he's going to obviously oversee the wide receiver room. And I gotta say, Matt, you know, I don't ever want to be that guy that gets in caught up in the moment with hype and things like that, because I know Cougar fans, they feel that sometimes people that cover BYU sports, they'll lay it on thick. They'll put it on. They won't give the honest truth. I feel like with our show, we strive to just be fair and just tell it how we see and how we feel about it. And if we're really high on a team or a player, we'll say that. But if we're kind of down and feeling like, you know what, this isn't as good as it should be, we'll say that as well. So with that in mind, I feel like with this wide receiver room, I've been watching, you know, BYU football for a long time now. And I got to say, I feel like this is the deepest wide receiver room that BYU has ever had. Now, is there that number one guy like Like an Austin Colley, there could be. You know, I think Puka Nacua's got that ability potentially, but I think it's just as a collective group. This is a talented wide receiver room. Now, Fessy Satake deserves a lot of credit for building up from what he inherited to now. There's a lot of talent. So whoever the quarterback's going to be, they will have a lot of talented personnel to throw the football to this season.
And you know what I love the most about this group, Mitch, is there's just an incredible diversity amongst skill set in the wide receiver group. Because I think Puka can do it all. And then you add a guy like Sampson, because oddly enough, upon my quest of watching Heartbreak all summer long, you see the 2018 loss in which Sampson Nacua had a touchdown and looked great in the slot, and he had some nice performances against BYU when he played for Utah, and I think he could be a really valuable member at an inside receiver position. So you've got someone who has a track record of being good in the slot. He's shifty, he's quick. You got Puka, who can kind of do it all. We've seen that top-end speed at Washington before. And then you look at some of the returning guys. Neil Pau at 6'4". He's a really solid possession guy. And I think he's a little underrated in speed. So he occupies that kind of Cody Hoffman role where he's not going to take the lid off the defense. But in tight situations, you could throw it to him. We saw it in the bowl game against UCF where Zach threaded the needle and drilled Neil Pau for a touchdown pass. You got Gunnar Romney. I think he's a little bit like Puka in that he's got the speed. He can catch in traffic. He's kind of got that rounded skill set. And there's a bunch of other dudes, too, like Chris Jackson. You got Cody Epps, who he's got the – I mean, there's such a wealth of skill in so many different areas. It's not like, oh, well, this group – They're sure-handed, but they can't break away from their defenders. I feel like there's a great mix of all these required skills to be a great wide receiver group.
Yeah, it's so true, because I really feel like when – and I've said this before on the program, but I feel like when Kalani Sitake took over BYU, I had some doubts maybe as to the ability to get skill position talent. I think the first couple years, you didn't see many great skill recruits joining the BYU football program. Maybe that was a byproduct of the previous offensive staff. But once Fessy Satake got on board and became the wide receiver coach, and Aaron Roderick and Jeff Grimes, I feel like there's just been a nice uptick in the quality of players and the depth that's showing at wide receiver, not to mention the tight end room is talented. I think out west in college football, I think it's one of the better tight end rooms that you're going to see this season, with led by Isaac Rex. So, yeah, I really like this BYU wide receiver room, and I'm intrigued, too, to see the growth of guys like Keanu Hill, as you mentioned. What can Cody Epps be? Terrence Fall, who was originally from France, born and raised there, moves to California, now ends up at BYU. Chase Roberts comes back from a mission. You get Quinton Rice, who is the son to former BYU defensive back Rodney Rice. BYU fans might remember that name. Rodney Rice was a great BYU player back in the day, had a fantastic Jerry Curl haircut. This is a beautiful thing. But there's some talent in this group. And then you got wide receivers like a walk-on Tanner Wall, who you heard Fessy Satake mention, who's a very intriguing, maybe that next Dax Milne type, who could emerge from walk-on to a significant contributor in the program. So I like the personnel. And I just feel like this whole offense, Matt, as long as they get it right with quarterback, and whoever ends up winning that job steps in and has success early, I feel like this offense is built to continue the momentum and put up some big numbers again, because I love the running backs. Tyler Algier's great. 1,000-yard running back. I think he's going to put up some big numbers again. And I think the offensive line, crazy enough, could be maybe just as good. I really am high on what this offensive line can become in 2021. So I love what personnel-wise BYU has offensively. They just got to make sure that quarterback finds success early and can execute and lead the offense. And they had a great leader to kind of follow and see how it's done in Zach Wilson. So hopefully that can carry itself over, because the pieces are there.
Whoever wins the job, I'd just be stunned at whoever wins the job if they don't have that success early. You're playing Arizona.
Yep.
Arizona's not any good, and you have all this offensive talent. So.
But first-time BYU, you know, offenses, I've seen many a times these BYU teams go into a Virginia, or they go to these, you know, these openers. They're always just kind of a They're kind of a crapshoot. Other than that Navy game last year, I've just seen many a BYU team struggle in week one. Because I'm with you. I feel like they should roll Arizona. Like, Arizona's not a good football team at all. BYU, head and shoulders, better talent, better coaches, better everything right now. But I've seen just BYU go in those season openers and struggle, and it's a dogfight. But I'd like to think
There's a key difference, and the difference is all those things you're remembering, that Virginia loss, oddly enough, I've already watched it.
You're sick. You are twisted.
I mean, let's not forget that there was basically a tsunami that happened in the middle of that football game that led to an INT where the football just shot through Jamal Williams' hands like someone had poured grease on him to try to put the game away. I mean, if he makes that catch, we're not even talking about this football game. Nevertheless, we don't need to go down that path. This offense, those offenses were new. We were radically changing. That particular offense, if I remember correctly, was moving out of the pro style from Doman into go fast, go hard for an eye. This is a continuation of the same stuff. And you heard Fessy Satake say, yeah, it's going to be a little different because a great offense would slightly tweak to the personnel, but the philosophy is the same. And Aaron Roderick has said as much to us here on the show that we're going to score a lot of points. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to throw the football downfield. You have to do those things to win football games. So I just don't feel like this offense is really going to be any different. You're just plugging in new guys, but the philosophy is the same rather than a wholesale philosophy change.
Yeah, and that is reason for optimism. I think Cougar fans should be excited about that, that there is this internal confidence and belief. And I do believe that seeing firsthand – you know, what it takes to become a number two overall pick. Like, this program, this personnel that's going to step into the spotlight this year, they got a front row seat to how the best of the best draft pick operates. Like, that's how it's done. Like, and I know Zach got a little bit elevated because of the position he plays. It's not, and not all things are equal for a running back and whatnot. But if you want to get a crack and be selected in the NFL draft, you got a front row seat to how those guys do it with Dax Milne and with Brady Christensen. It is all about the work, the preparation, and a ton of sacrifice. Because there's been years in the past where BYU guys maybe didn't make the necessary sacrifices. And I think last year's group, they sacrificed so much. It was well documented, as many teams did amidst the pandemic. But they go 11-1, and it was far more than just simply a weaker schedule. BYU was a great football team last year, and you hope that these guys now in 2021 can step up and elevate their play and become that next level talent and lead BYU to new heights, because the pieces are there to kind of have a similar type of season like 2007, where you lose so many guys off a great team in 06, but you know, there's question marks, there's new quarterback, new faces, mm-hmm. but the drop off might not be there if they can kind of find that success early. And like that 07 team, they open up the season coming up with Arizona on September 4th in Las Vegas. That's going to be a lot of fun. We cannot wait for that season opener. Less than 4 months away now, Matt. It's not far away. We're going to have fall camp here early August. It is not far away. We're inching ever so closer to BYU football being back in our lives. We can't wait for that. We got to take a break, though. We'll put a bow on the show with the hurry up. Get all the news that you might have missed throughout the week in the world of BYU sports here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.